your heart, you know, such wonderful blessing to have Brother Robin, Sister Melissa here. You know, they're a great blessing to us. The last two conventions that we've held in Europe come and just ministered the Word of God. We were there last week and just so appreciate the Word of God through our brother. Really appreciate. You know, this is an hour of utter unreality. So much confusion, so much deception. We are reaching the crisis age, the crisis hour of this generation. I do want to hear what God is saying. If it's one thing you need tonight, you must know what the God of heaven is saying to you. One thing is required of you in this room, that you know what God would say to you. I mean a real God would say to you, and that you're doing the right thing and you are right with God. If you're not right tonight with God, you're not right with anything. Yeah. That's where it all begins, at that simple place, meeting Jesus Christ. You know, Christ met with me, changed my life. There's people sitting in this room. They were all sorts of things before Christ changed them. But they're sitting here in their right mind with a desire for Him, knowing their sins are forgiven, knowing that in the day they breathe their last breath, they're ready to meet God. Can I ask you, are you ready to meet Him? If you are ready to meet Him, are you walking with Him in such a way that is honourable to Him? I'm going to hand over to my pastor, brother. I do love him, respect him. Do you know, in this hour, I'm not interested in just another preacher or going to another church meeting. But I tell you, I do want to hear from God. I want to hear from the God of heaven. God bless you, brother. You take your liberty and your freedom. Let's welcome him.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you have ever met someone from Arkansas? Yeah, a few. Amen. So good to be here. We've prayed for this church. My wife and I had the opportunity last year to come and be a part of what's going on here. And in the message I was preaching on, how that they were cutting down wood. How many of you remember that message?
Yes.
And how that the community knows when people are at work for God.
Yeah.
I grew up in sort of the country area, and you could always know when somebody's out there cutting down a limb. How many of you have ever heard somebody cutting down a limb with an axe? You know when there's work being done. And I'm a firm believer when a church is doing something for God, the community takes notice. There's something different going on there than what I've been exposed to in my life. So thank you for having me. Just such a great privilege, honor that you would come tonight, be a part of this service. My wife and I, we're from Arkansas. We pastor a church there. But, you know, I was saved when I was 18 years old. I was on drugs. I was lost. I had a praying mom. Grew up in a very small town. The name of the town was Ola, Arkansas. I mean, definitely don't know where Ola's at. That's about 500,000 people, but it was all I knew growing up. But how many of you know sin reaches everywhere?
Yes.
It can get you. You're born into it, is what the Bible says. But God wonderfully delivered me. Delivered me from drugs. Everything you could imagine. It's all God. My brothers, my oldest brother, Jonathan, he was wonderfully saved about 2 years ago, I guess. And then my middle brother, Josh, prayed for him for years. He is a drug dealer when he was young. Most people would have never, ever, ever said those people be preaching the gospel. But I'm happy to tell you tonight, my middle brother, Josh, was saved about 6 months ago. I have the opportunity to amen. God answers, He hears prayers, but I've really struggled to find the mind of God. I thought I had it when I flew over to be here, but these past 4 days, I guess the Lord began to deal with me about a thought, and I couldn't get away from it. And as He began to develop this in my spirit, I pray that it ministers to you. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 19. Amen. I believe this is going to be a time, an opportunity. Many of you will leave here different than when you came. I believe that the power of God saves and delivers to the uttermost. 1 Samuel chapter 19, we'll start reading here in verse 13. Three verses here. 1 Samuel 19, 13 through 15. The Bible says, and Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. Verse 16. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so? I want to take the title of this message tonight from verse 16, where the Bible says, there was an image in the bed. That's the title I'd like to preach to you tonight, an image in the bed. Would you help me pray? Father, we love You. We thank You for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, that You do still deliver the sinner. You say to the uttermost. I pray, God, that You'd anoint this vessel. Use me for Your glory. God, that You'd speak to us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated here tonight. Preaching an image in the bed. We're going to lay a foundation here for a moment, so stay with me as we do this. But most of us here are fully aware that the Bible is a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. John 5:39 says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This word testify here means to be a witness or bear record of. Now knowing this fact, I believe that King David represents Christ in more ways than any other biblical character. Charles Spurgeon once said, David was a type of Christ on many matters. J.C. Ryle said, it was Christ of whom David the king was a type. Now we also understand in the Word of God that since the beginning, God has been after a likeness of Himself. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Genesis 5:1 says, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Now Scripture lets us know that sin, rebellion, and disobedience to the Word of God marred this likeness. Yes. We understand that after the fall of man, man could no longer bear the likeness or image of God in his fallen estate. This is why the Holy Ghost emphasizes the fact that Adam's son Seth was created in the likeness of man. Genesis 5:3 says, and David, Adam rather, lived 130 years and began a son, bare a son in his own likeness after his own image. You see, that is the production of man. After the fall of man, man could no longer create anything in the likeness of God. Now, one able commentary states, Adam was made in the image of God, but when he was fallen and corrupted, he begat a son in his own image, sinful and defiled, frail and mortal, and miserable like himself. Amen. I don't know if you've looked at the world around you, but it is a miserable world. People turn into drugs, turn into themselves. Everything about us is miserable because man cannot create anything in the likeness of God. It is an impossibility. Now Scripture lets us know that what Adam lost, Christ regained at the cross and at Calvary. Amen. Christ regained it all. Christ was in every way the likeness of the Father. John 14:9 says, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Amen. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the image, the likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In other words, what the devil took from man by way of sin, it was at Calvary where the Lamb of God shed His precious blood and regained that likeness to God. We must come to realize that when what Adam lost, Christ regained.
Amen.
And because of this eternal victory, Christ will ultimately, and does even now, convey this likeness to every born again believer. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Ephesians 4:24 says, And that you put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, man, when you and I are born again, we once again regain that likeness in the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed with the same image. For the glory from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, it is the desire of God for you and I to be born again, to be born of the Spirit of God, that we can once again have the likeness of God. Romans 8:29 says, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image, my God, of the Son. Hallelujah. We see this desire in the life of David. David said in Psalm 17:15, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Hallelujah. You see, David understood what it was to be born again, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, and his one singular desire. It wasn't a hit on a joint. It wasn't a needle in an arm. It was to be changed into the likeness of God. Hallelujah. 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 We must understand fully that this likeness is what God is after in every believer. Amen. You see, this is all the work of the Spirit of God. Man cannot make himself in the likeness of Christ. It's an impossibility. You can kneel, you can pray with rosary beads all you want. You'll be led more like Christ than less like Christ than anything else in this world. But I can tell you this, it is a product of the Spirit of God, that God, the Holy Ghost, can take you and I and make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you, I was saved some 15 years ago. God washed me. I was born again and took on the likeness of God. But as I progress in the Word of God, the Spirit of God has conformed me to the image of His Son. I want you to know, if you say you've been born again, bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, but yet you're not been conformed to that image, I can tell you, you've been sold the bell of goods.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We find that Paul, the great apostle, was able to say, For me to live is Christ. Hallelujah. We must also understand that likeness is a product of conversion, of God, the Spirit, and of Christ. Amen. It is in no way fleshly, carnal, earthly, or man-produced. Though man has tried to create it outside of the divine thought of God. This is what God told us in Deuteronomy chapter 4:16. lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the likeness of any figure, the likeness of any beast that is upon the earth. God understood, you see, that man would always endeavor to formulate an earthly likeness, formulated and controlled by the thought of man and not God's divine thought. Amen. We must realize this. That's what God knew. He knew man. Man had an innate desire to know there had to be a likeness. But in man, man wanted to create that likeness in himself. My wife and I, we had the opportunity to go and tour Scotland a little bit. Amen. And while we were there, we saw their images on their walls. We saw all their Roman Catholicism, imagery everywhere, trying to be formulated by the hand of man. But I want you to know tonight that only the likeness of God comes from God. God, man can't make that likeness. Only God can give that likeness. Amen. You see, man has always tried to go around Christ, formulating an earthly likeness. Amen. And I believe we find this substitution, this alternative in our text tonight. Amen. The Bible lets us know here, as we've already established, that King David is a type of Christ. Amen. So we understand this reality. With this thought in view, I believe that we are presented what we are considering. Scripture lets us know that Michal, the wife of David, let him out of a window and replaced or substituted his person, his likeness, with an image and went to great lengths to convey this likeness to those on the outside. Amen. We read here that she took an image when David's let out the window and she placed that image in the bed, brother. Amen. Well, theologians say that that image, that statue, was probably around 6 foot high. I mean, it wasn't some easy task, can you say amen?
Amen?
I mean, she went to great lengths to place this idol in the bed. Are you with me now?
Amen.
In looking at Michal, we can glean several things about her person now. We know that she was Saul's daughter, which tells us she was a product of the flesh, for that was Saul's kingdom. We know that she was a snare unto David, for Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare unto him. We also know she despised or disesteemed David in her heart, that she may, that whenever he came and was dancing before the Lord. And we also know that her womb was cursed because of her mockery. But most importantly, hear me now, most importantly, the name Michal means who is like God or in God's likeness. Now you can look at her life and come to understand Michal is nothing like God. Can you say amen? She's nothing like God. She may go to church. She may kneel to pray. She may put a dime or two or a euro in the offering plate. But we know she's nothing like God. For we see her on the street. We know how she talks to her children. We know how she talks to her friends. She's nothing like God. But she's very good at trying to portray that which is of God. But I want you to know that God knows what we are. I said God knows what we are. And He knows tonight if we have produced a likeness that is man-made.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You see, I believe this sums up the Michal company. We've all talked to them. We all know them. Can you say amen?
Yes.
She is that which represents a carnal, earthly likeness which is outside of true heavenly, divine, and a spiritual likeness of Christ produced by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You see, in looking at our text, there are two things I believe must be considered. The first is the measure or effort an individual puts into embracing a false likeness of Christ does not condone or bring merit to the action. Amen. When you look at her life, I believe we can all applaud a woman that would get a heavy statue and put that thing in the bed. I mean, to roll that thing. I don't know how heavy it was, but I can guess it was pretty heavy. Can you say amen? You with me?
Yeah.
I bet that was a pretty heavy statue.
Yeah.
as she got it. Can you imagine, brother? Her trying to roll that thing over there. I mean, she's going through great lengths trying to put a statue, something she's trying to play off as being David. I mean, she's going through great lengths to do it. But just because she's going through a great length to do it, it doesn't make it justified, nor does it make it right. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot of people in life. I've seen a lot of people do a lot of religious activity. I've pastored a church there in Arkansas. I've seen a lot. Thank you, brother. I've seen a lot of people. They don't miss a Sunday morning. They don't miss a Sunday night. They don't miss a Wednesday night. I can applaud their effort. I can say, good job, man. That's the way to go. You don't miss nothing. But in all they're doing, nothing is a product of the Holy Ghost. It's all a product of the thought of man.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 We can only imagine. You see, in the natural, surely this can be applauded, this great effort, amen. You see, you here, you live in a very religious world. I've driven your streets. I've been through your churches, whatever else. I've seen a lot of people. They have rosary beads. That Pope, he came to America just a few weeks ago. I can tell you, they flocked to him by the thousand. I seen one man, you know, the Pope. He drank some water and the man took it home, blessed his kids with it. I can tell you, I can applaud the link that they go, but just because they do it doesn't make it right with God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, I've seen people go to great lengths in substituting their fleshly likeness of Christ. I've seen people faithfully attend Mass and pray to dead saints. I've seen people fast and wear skirts down to their toes. I mean, there's a lot of outward action. Have you seen that as well? I mean, people do a lot of stuff. On the surface, you'd say, boy, that's a likeness of Christ there. Surely that's Christ in the bed. Surely that's Christ there. But I can tell you, the dead giveaway is that statue couldn't breathe. I said it had no life to it. Hallelujah. It couldn't move an arm. It couldn't talk a word. It was dead in a bed. But the Christ I serve tonight is a living Christ. Hallelujah. 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 I can tell you tonight, the true likeness of Christ, it speaks, it moves, it has expression, and it has a fullness of life. Amen. I can tell you, if there was a real David in that bed, and blankets would have been coming up, I can tell you there would have been life there. I've looked at a lot of people, that blanket hadn't moved in 20 years. I can tell you, there's no Christ there. It's dead religion.
Yes.
I said it's dead religion.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Bible says it this way. In the last days, they would have a form, which means a likeness, but denying the power thereof. I've grew up around a lot of religious folk. I've seen them do a lot of things. They make that Christmas service. They make that Easter service. You meet them on the street and say, oh, isn't Jesus good? I'm going to heaven. But I can tell you here tonight with the confidence of the Word of God that if your Christ isn't breathing, if your Christ doesn't move you to an altar, you don't know the one I serve. You don't know the one of this book, because the one of this book moves the man of God. I said, moves a man to God. We must ask ourselves, who possesses a likeness of law? Who possesses a likeness of works? Who possesses a likeness of hyper grace? And who possesses a likeness in religious activity? These are questions that must be asked. Amen. We must look in that bed. We must ask ourselves, what are we working for? Have we rolled something in? Did we let David out a window a long time ago and substituted the realness of his person for something that is false?
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
That's right.
From a distance, it might have looked like Christ, but it was only a mirage.
Yes.
It was only a facade.
Yes.
And it was only an image in the bed.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I said it looked like it. I've looked at people before. I've looked at them. Hell, you know, when you just see them on Sunday morning, you may think, boy, they really like Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have those in Ireland. I said, maybe It was just a mirage, you see. It wasn't real. It wasn't real. Amen. It was all a mirage, facade. There's nothing there of life. Amen. There's nothing there. You see, we find that Saul asked Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me?" Amen. Everything Michal did was based upon deception. She was trying to let a world think that she possessed something she really didn't possess. Amen. She thought because she shouted the loudest, nobody would investigate. She thought because she gave the most money, nobody would investigate. Amen. Thank you. She thought because she went to church every time the doors were open, that nobody would investigate. Amen. I mean, who would look at her? Because she wore a cross around her neck. I mean, surely nobody would look. Amen. I believe this is the issue with a false likeness. Amen. I believe this is it, folks. We've been around this thing long enough to know there's a lot of false out there. Jesus said, be careful. There's that Antichrist man comes. Jesus said, says Christ here, Christ there. There's a lot of people like Christ, but there's very few that possesses the nature of Him. Are you hearing me? Just because somebody smiles, just because somebody puts on a tie and stands behind a pulpit, doesn't mean they're giving you Christ, sir. Doesn't mean they're giving you Christ, man. You say, preacher, how do I know? Because is He full of life? That's how you know. Amen. Just because they sprinkle a little water means nothing. Are you hearing me? There's a lot of imagery going on in this world. I can tell you that much. Amen. Whether it's a false Catholicism, whatever else, whether it's a false Pentecost, I can tell you, folks, I've seen it all. I said, I've seen it all. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive himself, you see. There's a lot of people, they've looked at that in there's that bed so long, they start believing in themselves that's Christ. Amen. Because they compared themselves with somebody else that went to church. They said, well, his doesn't move either. I guess it's okay for mine not to move. No, no. I believe that the Bible says, don't compare yourself with one another. You say, preacher, well, what do I compare with? You compare yourself with the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. I said, that's the comparison. That's what I must look at. And whatever it says I should be, should do, or whatever else, I must take that as the reality of life. Amen. 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 You know, the Bible says here, in Michal's great, you know, her great lengths here to deceive. The Bible said something moved me when I read this. Bible says she took some goat's hair and made it for his bolster. How many know what bolster means? Neither did I. Well, that too. Thank you for those two. I didn't know. I had to look it up. What is bolster? Bolster's hair. So she took goat's hair. I mean, she's, how many of you would applaud her greatly?
Yeah.
I mean, she gets some goat's hair. She says, oh, I've got to deceive them. Amen. They're going to think, I don't know God. I'm coming here to Pastor Keith's church. I'm coming here to worship God. If I don't put a little hair on there, they may think I want you to notice something. In the Word of God, whenever you see a goat there in the New Testament, it always relates to religious people. Amen. Yeah. Always there. Yeah. You see, she took that of religion and she placed it on its head. I believe there's something there for it. I read that and this thought came into my spirit. Literally, religion become the head. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but there's no head but Christ. Yeah. There's no pope. There's no preacher. It's Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I can tell you anything. You know, she thought, I can put religion, I can apply it to the head. Surely, surely that'll pass in eternity. Surely, surely it's in my bed. Surely. Jesus said, Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ. Antichrist. Christ that sort of looked like Christ. But not like Christ.
Yeah.
My brother was in Paris one time. He was floating down a river. You know, I've never done that. Not sure what river it is. But he was floating there. And he said there was a spitting image of me in that boat with him. I don't know how that happens. But I've seen people that look like other people. Can you say amen?
Yes.
I mean, you got to take a double take. Sometimes you got to say something, man. Just say something. You know, that lingo gives you away. Amen. But my brother saw that. I believe, folks, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of things in religion. There's a lot of things in churches all across this land. It looks like Christ, but it's not a product of the Spirit of God. God said, make nothing earthly in my image. Amen. You can take it earthly. You can formulate it out of the dirt. And you can do your best to make it look like this book. Amen. And it'll never be it, sir. It'll never be it, ma'am. You can fast for 30 days, still be lost, and go to hell.
Yes. Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But I do want you to know, when you're born again, here comes the likeness.
Amen.
I said, here comes the likeness. I said, here comes the likeness. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, you and I cannot, say with me, cannot.
Cannot.
Cannot. And must not wait to investigate this life.
Yeah.
Amen. You cannot wait, sir, ma'am.
Jesus.
You cannot wait to investigate this life. Amen. You see, what kept Saul's messengers at bay was a false testimony of sickness. I want you to hear me. I'm sure it's the same way here in Ireland as it is in America. But when somebody says they're sick, you respect that. I may have wanted to kill you yesterday, but you're sick. I'll wait till tomorrow. That's what these messengers. Michal said, well, you can't kill him today. He's sick. They said, well, we'll just wait till tomorrow. Are you hearing me? You see, it was out of respect. You hear me? It was out of respect for the particular testimony that held their investigation at bay.
Yeah.
Hear me now. You see, there's a lot of things and a lot of people that we respect. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I can respect a person that baptized me when I was 2. Not a sprinkle of a little water or whatever else. I can tell you there is in that an innate desire to respect particular things of life. Amen. But there's certain things, you hear me, there's certain things you always respect people, not trying to demean that. But don't you ever let that respect hold you at bay of investigation. No sir, no ma'am. I can tell you, these men that saw sin, if they would have only leaped over the testimony and said, I know you're telling me he's sick, but I want to see for myself. I don't want to wait out here, not now, take my last breath, and to find out I respect it too long.
Yes.
You hear me? There's a lot of people, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of people, I say, boy, I them people's always been good to me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know, growing up, where I grew up in church, you know, there's a lot of people that told me a lot of things about God, about things, and for years, that testimony, that respect I have for them never ever moved me to investigate what they told me.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I took it for granted. If they say David's sick, then surely he's there, but he's just not in the capacity to move like he used to move.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You know, she testified of a diminished David.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people tell you this. Well, we just don't live in those days of miracles anymore. That's David's sick, you see. Amen.
Yeah.
Keeps you at bay from investigating. Why doesn't what happened in my life, why doesn't it reflect what's happening in this book?
Yes.
Amen. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people thinking. I've seen a lot of people, folks. I've seen them, my friend. I've seen a lot of people. You know, they know, but they grew up in it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
You hear me? They know that.
Yes.
They know that, but they respect the testimony of sickness. They think, well, maybe David is sick. Maybe there is a diminished testimony for a reason. Amen. That kept these men at bay. I can tell you there's some of you in here, brother. I know your testimony. There's a lot of people in here. You thought religion, all they had for you was, you know, this little thing. But you came into this church. You investigated this thing yourself. And you realize what you've been told all your life. It's just a bell of goods. It means nothing. You've come into contact with a living God. A living Christ has still changed his life. I'm thankful tonight that the Spirit of God still moves people to investigate. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
You see, there's people here tonight. I believe God told me this. There's people here tonight. You've not investigated because you've respected the testimony of sickness. You've been held at bay because you thought surely somebody wouldn't play games with my eternal soul.
Yeah. Jesus. Lord.
Surely they wouldn't lie to me. Surely they wouldn't testify of something that wasn't real. Folks, I can tell you the devil comes as an angel of light.
Yes.
I said he comes as an angel of light.
Yeah.
There's a lot of testimony out there, folks, and people are held at bay. They think they have to continue in their drugs. They think they have to continue in this horrible state of sin. Wow. They think they have to live like that. God sent me here to tell you tonight,
yes,
you don't have to live like that.
Yeah.
I said you don't.
You,
I said you don't. You see, these servants of Saul probably felt like fools after they found out what they thought was David. Hey man, how many have ever been duped before?
Yeah.
I remember one time I bought a television before I married my wife. I went, drove 100 miles to get it. Man, it's a good deal. Good deal. I bought that television, brought it home, and the thing would go out 10 minutes after you powered it up. Hey man, I thank God for salvation. I'd have been upset about all that. But I can tell you, I felt duped. I felt horrible to know. I wasted my gas money. I used my money. Amen. Some of you been there. I know. How I wasted my gas money. I took my time. I took my money. And I bought something that didn't work. Amen. I was deceived. I can tell you, folks, there's a lot of people. They come to know this great gospel this man preaches and that is preached by this blessed book. They came to know. And in that moment of a knowing, they feel like complete fools. You're telling me, preacher, I lived my whole life thinking I was right with God. But there's only been an image in the bed for me. I hate to tell you tonight, but it's good to know tonight that wake up in the pits of hell and realize it was all an image in a bed.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Lord.
All an image. You see, they allowed false testimony that leaned on their emotional senses.
Amen.
Keep them from investigating for themselves.
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about it. They allowed their emotional senses to keep them from investigating for themselves. I can tell you, folks, the most important thing you can do is investigate this divine life.
Yes.
You know, Philip told Nathaniel, or Nathaniel told Philip, come and see. Come and see. Some of you are here tonight because somebody told you, come and see.
Yes.
Time for you to investigate for yourself. You look at the life of Moses. Moses said to himself, I'll turn aside and see this great sight. That was the desire of his life, folks. I can tell you, we only have but short time on this earth.
Yes.
All of us. If we live to be 80, we are old people.
Yeah.
I can tell you, it's still, you know, Melissa and I, we read, we saw things, people been around these lands for thousands of years. I can tell you, folks, we're just a blimp. We're just a glimpse. We're just a vapor on this whole landscape of things. But I can tell you, surely we don't want to wake up and to realize we never investigated.
Yeah. Jesus.
To see what's in that bed.
Yes.
But you hear me?
Yes.
See what's in that heart. To investigate. I can tell you, you know, I thought about this. You know, prosthetic arms, whatever else. There's a lot of things, you know, there may be some life there, folks. But I can tell you, if there's anything under that blanket that is of a false origin, it's not true to the divine life of Christ, I can tell you, that arm doesn't move, whatever else, the way God intended, the way God spiritually wants it to move, I can tell you that arm must be investigated.
Yeah.
Is there something in my life? Is there a foot that's all of me and none of God?
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
There's a lot of things, folks, I've had to investigate in my life. We talked about it in the convention. There's a good friend, I think he preached it, Brother Stephen Cartwright, great friend of mine. Me and him would go in my office in Beaumont, Texas. We would investigate all that's under that blanket, all that's under that cloth, everything that's in that bed. Is there anything of me? Is there anything a product of myself?
Yes.
Anything a product of my own mind?
Yes.
Is there anything there that's not Christ? I can tell you it's worthy of investigation.
Jesus.
Amen. Yes. I believe that all that is within us, folks. How many of you believe your soul's important?
Yes.
How many of you believe? You know, there's people, you know, in America, they have investigative shows. They have people, you know, they investigate just weird things. Amen. Maybe that's here, but it's sure there. They investigate a lot of weird things. I tell my church all the time, folks, I can tell you, in all you're searching, in all you're looking, those wise men that came to find Christ, they had to investigate.
Yes.
They could have been wrong, sure. They could have been wrong. I told a man the other day, he's sitting, we're on a plane, got on Dublin, was with a professor there. We flew into Bristol, was on that plane with the plane and the bus with him. He was a professor at Bristol. I asked him, I said, do you know God? Do you know God? And he looked at me and said, I just don't believe in God. And I began to share with him the things of God. I said, you know that. He told me, He graduated from Kansas University in America. He graduated there. He said, you know, just, got awards, everything else. I said, surely, you're a very smart man. I said, you know, I believe in God. He said, well, I don't. I said, but what if you're wrong?
Amen.
What if you're wrong? I said, what if you're wrong? I said, a man will go 4 years to a university to investigate mathematics,
yes,
investigate science. I can tell you, folks, your soul tonight, your soul is so more, much more valuable than an education of the mind. Surely if we'll spend 4 years to thoroughly investigate if this thing be so or not, surely we can investigate if this book is so.
Amen.
There's a lot of people, you see. There's a lot of people. They let mama growing up that away. They let a convincing argument and a family tradition keep them from true investigation.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Had
nothing stop you tonight.
Yes.
Maybe you've been held at bay.
Jesus.
Because something you're hung up on from when you were a kid that you were taught. I can tell you folks, nothing, absolutely nothing is worth waking up on that great day of judgment,
Lord,
and finding out what you thought was in that bed was the real.
Jesus.
It was all an image, friend.
Jesus.
It was all an image in that bed.
Amen.
You see, they allowed the testimony of David being sick. To keep them paralyzed upon that investigation. Think about it. May you and I here tonight not wait until it is too late to realize it was just an image in the bed. It was just a false likeness. Wasn't really like Him. And that of divine life. We must come tonight to this great reality. I believe, folks, that God's looking for a likeness. But it is a likeness. Listen to me. It is a likeness that you and I cannot produce in ourselves. Doesn't matter how much you pray. Doesn't matter how much you read this book. Doesn't matter. For outside of the new birth, you cannot produce a likeness that only comes from above.
Yes.
Adam couldn't produce it in Seth. Are you hearing me? Adam could have tried many kids, but it would always been in the likeness of Adam. Because sin had marred that likeness. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You and I can do whatever we want to do. I've seen in America them put WWJD bumper stickers on that car. I can tell you they'll still go to hell with it.
Amen.
Yeah.
They can say 1,000 Hail Marys, whatever else. I can tell you still go to hell.
Yeah.
Now that means nothing. That's all an image in the bed. It may have a likeness. It may be the same dimensions. It may have goat's hair for its bolster. It may look a lot of it. May have a cloth. I can tell you folks, it's worthy of your investigation tonight.
Jesus.
It's worthy.
Yes.
It's worthy tonight. Don't leave here. Do not leave this room with an image in the bed.
Yes.
Make sure it's the true life of Christ.
Amen.
It's a living Christ. It's a moving Christ. It's a breathing Christ.
Amen.
It's a Christ that has divine expression.
Yes.
Amen. Would you stand with us tonight?